but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Father, we just want to thank you that we can gather here this morning and encourage each other in Jesus Christ, that we, Lord, might be a part of your working here on earth. Lord, there's a lot of people in this world who think that we're crazy, that we're just, you know, worshiping a ghost. But Lord, that's because they don't know you, because they don't pray to you and they don't keep track of how you answer their prayers. Because Father, I believe you answer the prayers of every sinner and every saint. You just often don't answer the way that we think you ought to. And that's because, Lord, you're in charge. Because Father, when you fix things, they're fixed for generations. And when we fix things, they're fixed for a day. So Father, we just want to thank you that you are the God who watches over us. You are the God who created us, and you, Lord, are not limited to Irondale. You're not limited to Washington. You're not limited to the United States, the Philippines, or even this planet. You are Almighty God. And for that, Father, we just want to praise you and worship you. Thank you for being the one who reaches out and touches us all. Father, I want to pray for Vance as he comes and shares from your word and shares what's been going on in the Philippines. We just want to thank you so much for him and Carol and their years of service. What an example they are to all of us about, Lord, just doing the work and finishing well. We just thank you for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you may be seated.
I share in the Sunday school time. I am very glad to be here this morning. Carol and I do want to thank you. Carol's unable to be with me today. She's with my daughter, our daughter, in our home church. She just came up from California, spent a week with us, and she picked her up at the airport last night. But I have thoroughly enjoyed my time. I had a delightful meal with the Hayes and Sue at her house, and Hannah, and for a short time, the Wilcoxes, till they left. But I am just really glad. I enjoyed the Sunday school time. I like talking about the Philippines. It was my home. In some ways, it still is. My children call it home for the last 33 years. And we are blessed to have spent our time there and to have served the Lord. We're going to try a new presentation. See, when we talk about going out in missions, there are many ways to approach that. One of the ways that people often do, and it's very wise, is they go to the passages where Jesus tells people, go, or having gone to all the world, or Acts 1:8, starting in Jerusalem, going to Judea and Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. That pretty much covers everything. But one of the ways to think about going on mission is to look at the life of Jesus. And that's what I'm going to encourage us to do today. I'm going to start out with just a brief review. Carol and I did go to the Philippines with three children at that time, 6, 4, and 2. We actually had leashes on the kids. Don't tell any child protective services. But we didn't want them to run away from us while we were in the airport with our hands full of carry-on baggage and all these things. We took everything we needed, shipped a few things, but mostly we just took it on the plane with us. Went to a country we'd never been to before, met people that we had never met before, and proceeded to live there. And that was an experience, to say the least. We studied a difficult language. I spent 33 years there. I'm still learning that difficult language. I know enough to get myself in trouble a lot of times. But I don't know alternatives. I learned a few words, but didn't learn alternative words. And I found out only a few years ago that the word I had been using for afraid actually more meant terrified. And so I would talk about I was afraid of this or that, and I was kind of just a little bit afraid. I was telling people I was terrified of what was happening. I didn't know the distinction between those two. Synonyms can get you in trouble a lot. And just other things like that. I mean, they're funny things like hot. In English, I can talk about food being hot. You talk about putting a little heat in the food. Or I can talk about the weather being hot. And we use the word hot. Well, in the Philippines, you don't do that. The weather is hot, but food's not hot. Food is what we would call spicy. And you just don't mix those two words. They just don't do it. And there are little things like that. How do we count to five? I start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Germans start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have people I work with who are from Germany. They told me, you don't count that way. You count with your thumb first. But that was kind of strange. Filipinos, my hand won't hardly even do it. They start with their little finger. 1, 2, 3, 4. And, to us, that's silly. And it is. But it just shows you how different another culture and another language. We beckon to people, come on over. That's rude. In the Philippines, you beckon this way. You beckon. So my children beckon to each other. Come here. I'm looking at them, that works over there, not so well here, but it just, you get used to it. Different culture, different place. I'm not mentioning these to make you feel sorry for us. We were really blessed. God took care of us. Even though we left our families here, and eventually we left our children here, now we're spending time with them. But you don't have to feel sorry for us. God blessed and took care of us. But I just want to point out, and you were probably aware of this, it's not always the easy thing to do to go somewhere else, to a different language, go to a country that's on the other side of the earth, 7,000 little tiny islands. I mean, the island I lived on was a little bit bigger than Whidbey. Had 3.5 million people, mostly mountains. So we were all crowded together along the coastline. I mean, we lived in a town that had 96,000 people in it, and the commercial district was smaller than Port Hedland. But we had 96,000 people. There were people everywhere. Just not many stores or anything else to do stuff and buy things. It's just a different place. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for us. You don't have to. I mention this because I want to explore why do people do this? You've had people from this church go on short-term teams or go to other parts of the world. I was talking to somebody who was in Latin America just recently. Why do people do that? They do it not because of what we did, but because of what all of us do, but because of what Jesus did. And so I'm just reminding us that we're going to talk about so send I you. We're going to go to the next slide. Yeah, and how did I learn about missions? I learned about missions by, first of all, I learned about a lot of things. I read books. I love to read. I'm always reading. I was staying somewhere last night, picked up a book that was on the shelf, and I had to put it down so I could go to bed. Well, actually, I fell asleep with it on my face, but my wife wasn't there to pick it up and put it away. But, that's just how I am. I read a lot. But I want to encourage you, I know of a place where you can look at missions maybe a little differently, and you don't have to read. Find one of your grandkids to show you how to look on YouTube, and there's an excellent video put out by a mission agency, World Venture, the old region beyond, where it talks about a lady who went to Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is mountains. 14,000 feet, 15,000 feet, It's at the equator, and one of the tallest mountains there is actually a glacier. So that tells you it's really tall because everything else melts at the equator. It's always 80, always 90, and the humidity is always the same. But this young lady's name, well, she's no longer young, Eleanor Young, she's from Chatteroy. Now, you have to have a really good map to find that. It's just north of Spokane. And in 1951, when she was 5 years old, she got polio. The name of the video is Bad Legs. This young lady, very tiny, I went to Bible school with her. She was a couple years ahead of me. This young lady went to New Guinea, finally found a mission that would take her. She went to New Guinea in the backside of nowhere. People carried her in a chair. The people that she was going to carried her in a chair so she could go from one place to the next. Because she couldn't walk on those trails. She translated the Bible, part of the Bible, into their language. And if you watch that video, Bad Legs, you will see a phenomenal event about how God changed a group of people because of his word. And the message we talked about today when we were singing and what we're talking about even now. Don't need to read a book. 20 minutes, you'll be done. Excellent video. Bad Legs. But beyond Bad Legs, there's a couple more. You click, keep clicking it, Sue, and it will, yeah, click two more times. There we go. Bad Legs. Then the second one is talk to missionaries. When I was growing up, my parents would have missionaries come stay in our house. I've stayed in some of your houses. I remember a long time ago staying with Joyce Stewart and other people in this community in your house. I just ate at Sue's house last night. And you find out missionaries are real people. They put a fork in their mouth most of the time. Or I use a spoon a lot now because my hand shakes so bad that I'm better off with a spoon than I am with a fork. But meet them. Get to know them. Talk to them about what they do, where they go. They'd like to talk to you about what you do and where you've been. But talk to missionaries. That's why I'm here today. I'm enjoying this thoroughly. Last week I was at Port Orchard. The week before that, I was down near my hometown. And it's just an opportunity for me to share what God did in the 33 years. But finally, after talking to missionaries, I would encourage you to look at the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Pastor already mentioned it. And I want us to turn to Scripture. John 20, it will be up on the screen on the next slide, two slides. John 20, I'd just like you to follow along on the screen as I read. John 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Then on the next slide, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So send I you. Let's look at this next. When did this happen? It happened on the first day of the week. Think about what that day is. What is that day? For us, it's Sunday, but this was the most important Sunday of all of time. It was Easter, the first Easter. I live in a country that celebrates Holy Week a lot. I mean, they've got all kinds of things going on that whole time, from Palm Sunday, when everyone takes their coconut branch down to the church and has it blessed, and then they take it home and nail it on their house for a good luck charm. Or there'll be other things going on all week long. Friday, when they killed Jesus, people in that town where I live, some of them nailed themselves to crosses. Still, it happened just this last Good Friday. It'll happen next year too. They think that somehow that will get them closer to Jesus. Or one time I was driving down the street, I never saw any of the cross nailing stuff, but I know it happens. But I did see a guy walking down the street with a sack over his head. He was just walking along the street, no shirt on. And I didn't know what was going on at first. He was all by himself. Filipinos never go anywhere by themselves. So that was already kind of strange. He was by himself. It was Friday afternoon. Hot sun. Filipinos usually don't walk out in the hot sun either. I mean, you know, it's 95 and humid and it's hot. The tropics, the sun's right over your head. He was walking along the street, and then I saw what he was doing. He was whipping himself, and his back was bleeding because he wanted to be like Jesus. That's not what Jesus is talking about in this text. Easter is what it's all about. It's so interesting because by the time it comes to Easter in the Holy Week, everyone's so tired of doing everything else in the Philippines. Sunday is just another Sunday. But I love Easter Sunday. It's the greatest day of the year. I mean, I like Christmas, of course. But I love Easter Sunday. Was the first day of the week, but really was the first day of a whole new thing. Jesus was alive. He was not dead. It was Easter. What does Jesus tell them? Well, if we go to the next slide, you'll see a kind of a short collection of things he says. He says several things to them. First, he says, "Peace be with you." Then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then he also says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now we're going to look at those individually. First of all, peace be with you. Now to us, it's kind of like kids today, peace. Or when I was growing up, I grew up in the 60s, it was peace then too. Still don't have peace, but everybody kept doing this. But Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Now, to us, that sounds a little different, or maybe people of that generation used it. But in their culture, in the Hebrew culture, shalom was how you said hello. Shalom. I follow a guy who's trying to help me remember my Hebrew from seminary, and the close of every one of his short little sessions on the internet, he says, "Shalom." It means peace. He's blessing me. Kind of like the benediction at the end of a service or saying amen. It's very powerful in the Jewish context. Sometimes it comes from the Old Testament. The disciples needed it. How do we know the disciples needed it? What did it say? They were in the room. What was it? The doors were locked. Because they were afraid. They needed to hear, "Peace be with you." And Jesus knew that. He comes into the room without opening the doors, through the wall, however he did it. But he came in the room and said, "Peace be with you." Now, there'd be a couple of reasons to be a little bit shocked. Here's Jesus right here standing in front of you. The door is locked. The Jews are trying to come. I mean, they just killed the leader of the organization. They're next, they think, oh, he's coming after me. They're going to come after the followers. And they tried to do that. Saul did later in the book of Acts. But the disciples needed to hear peace. Paul uses it in all of his letters. Peace and grace. Grace is charis. That's Greek. And that's how a Greek person would say hello. Grace. Kind of neat, huh? Grace. Peace. But Paul uses them both to remind us God wants to bless us. And that's the message we have. Peace and grace. The other thing I'd like to point out is that only four verses, just a short little section, he says it two times. I need to hear things two times. That's why I liked when we were singing today. Holy, holy, we repeated that many, many times. I need that. I need to be reminded. Jesus knew that the disciples needed to hear, peace be with you. Peace be with you. The message we have to bring. So that's partially what we see from the example of Jesus. The message that we have to bring. In the next slide, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This is why we're in the Philippines. Jesus was sent, and he sent us. It's why you serve this community. It's why BBS is going to be happening. It's why you go out and put posters up. It's why you talk to people. It's why you go to other parts of the world. Because Jesus came and he sends us. How did he send us? Well, John 3:34 says to do the will of God. That was one of the ways Jesus came. John 9:4 says, the night is coming. This time isn't going to go on forever, despite what everyone thinks. There is an end. Pastor talked about it. We're getting ready to go through a door. One or the other. It's going to end. My dear mother-in-law is living with us. She's 90 years old. My dad's 92. I go see him. He's staying in a care facility. Both of them are awaiting the return of the Lord or being called home to the Lord. They have hope. So it's good for me to be with them because they have hope and their hope encourages me. But I'm reminded once again, we're not here forever. Even if the rest of the world thinks the world's going to go on forever, I for sure am not going to go on forever. And the world's not either. At least not as we know it. The night is coming. And then, in the third verse, in the next slide, it's, how did God send Jesus? Continued. John 12:49. Jesus was sent with God's authority. However Jesus was sent, we are sent. That's why we know we have authority. We have the right, the privilege, the authority to do what we do. That's why this church continues to exist in this community. Because God's given you the authority to continue to serve each other and to serve this community. It's always a blessing to drive by a community and see church. I mean, to me, that just totally overwhelms me. That God continues to share his message. A really neat thing happened in the year 2000, around the year 2000. That's when more Christians lived in the southern hemisphere than lived in the northern hemisphere. Well, now it's going to be actually China, too. There are more Christians in nations that receive missionaries than in the nations that send missionaries. And that's to be celebrated. We praise God. His kingdom is expanding. I just read where they could document 100 people in Iran, there were Christians. Now some people are saying, maybe as many as a million. In Iran, they have a pretty good estimate at 100,000. I mean, it's not like you're going to run a poll and go down and ask people, are you a Christian? You can die for saying you're a Christian. That's phenomenal. That happened in our lifetime, in the last 30, 40 years. I remember praying for Turkey when they knew there were 50 Turkish believers. Now there are thousands. Nepal had 4 believers. I know one movement inside the country of Nepal that has 10, 20,000 believers. These are countries that it's not easy to go to. I have a good friend that got kicked out of Turkey. But God is spreading His kingdom. God sent us with authority. It's not always going to be easy. Where I went, part of the Philippines I lived in, it was easy. It was easy. Filipinos are just warm, caring. My son's going to a Filipino party in Portland in a couple of weeks. And the only reason he can get in is because they said, yeah, come on. He doesn't know anybody at this thing. They're all going to have a potluck together. It'll be great. Carol and I went to a Filipino party about a month ago. It was just because we knew one couple there. We were there and they asked me to pray for the meal. There were about 50 people there. People I had never met before in my life. That's Filipino culture. But there are parts of the world that that's not the way it is. But God still calls and sends. Now, I want to just kind of in brief, and I gave you a sheet of paper, just a little bookmark like sheet of paper. And, we have one more. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus gave them the resources they would need. First of all, He gave the Holy Spirit. He knew He was going back to heaven. Gave the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit would be with them as they went. That's why we prayed for everybody today. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask God to intervene in people's lives. It's why you and I can pray for other missionaries. I go through a book where I pray for people all over the world. Because the Holy Spirit gives me that desire. The Holy Spirit is the power. And not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but we have a wonderful message. What is that wonderful message? Forgiveness. God offers forgiveness. I read a book one time, and it was about marriage counseling. And this guy was just fantastic. And he's known all, Daniel was known all over the world. He's since passed away a long time ago. But his books have had a major impact. And somebody asked him, why do your books have such an impact on marriages and people around the world? He says, it's because I talk about forgiveness. Not always about how to make everything better, but I talk about forgiveness. And I don't know about your marriage, but in my marriage, there's always room for forgiveness. I need that forgiveness. Gladly offer it to my wife because she's very gracious to me. Forgiveness, that's the message we have. We're not going out telling people, oh, there's no way you can make it to heaven. Yes, you say that on your own. But we have good news. What is the good news? God offers forgiveness. Forgiveness. A wonderful message. Now, we're going to close with just a brief review of what Jesus' message did. What does this mean for us to follow Jesus? Well, it means acceptance. Jesus, by coming to us, accepted us as worthy of His attention. We were reminded in the songs today that Jesus came because He thinks about each one of us. That's why we prayed for people today. We know that Jesus is aware of our needs. But we pray because we know He is aware. Identification. Jesus chose to become one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to live. He was a carpenter's son, or a stonemason, whichever way you want to think about it. I often think about, man, for 30 years, he worked with his hands. Lived, made things, did things. I mean, it'd be easy. You know, I was thinking, why didn't he just send Jesus, you know, like a week before he was to be crucified? Be crucified, die, rise again, go to heaven. No, not 2 weeks. It wasn't a short little trip. Wasn't a tourist kind of a thing. He came for the whole nine yards. That's not why I stayed 33 years in Philippines. But it is a motivation. Come and stay.
You're staying as long as
this, yeah, yeah. We're here. You're staying in this community. How long has this church been here? Long time.
Yeah, 48.
Okay, great. You guys aren't leaving tomorrow. You're here for the long haul. Jesus was. Came to live. You didn't run away. You stayed. Long term. Jesus did not come for a visit. He spent his whole earthly life among us. He learned like we do. He was a baby like we were. Well, some of us have small children. Not only did he come that way, but on the next slide it talks about he learned. Jesus situated himself to learn from those not worthy to teach him. And he's God of the universe. And his mom and his adopted father taught him. Here's how you work on wood. Here's how you sweep the floor. Think of that. God of the universe learns. It's pretty humbling. Let me tell you, learning a new language is pretty humbling. You start out sounding like a little two-year-old. Actually, you wish you sounded as good as a two-year-old. And they, you know, two-year-olds get a lot of credit for trying. When you're 31 and you're trying to speak, it's a long way to go. A year into it, you can say your name and a few other things. And somebody asks you a question, and I'll get back to you on that. I don't know what you just said. It's humbling. But Jesus didn't take that way. He learned our language. He learned. It says that he learned very well. He was humble. And he came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. You see that when he washes the disciples' feet, other times like that. Then on the last slide of this series, what does Jesus do? He suffers. There are suffering. We missed our family here. I wasn't around for some of my grandmother's passing, and I was here, fortunately, for my mom's passing. I was not here for Carol's dad's passing. None of us were. In fact, Carol's mother was visiting us when her husband died. That was hard. We weren't here for some of our children's major events. We were here for our son's marriage, but we weren't here when we went to school, college, and things like that. Perseverance. Jesus did not turn away from the task he set out to accomplish. He went on. Didn't quit. And finally, and not last, but least, love. He loved us. Love the people you go serve. I have dear friends. I got a message yesterday from one of my students. He said, Vance, where are you? In their language. He was writing me on Facebook, does many languages. And he wrote me and asked, where are you, Vance? I had teacher Vance. They don't ever say it without a title. And I said, well, I'm living in the States now. I'm retired. He said, thank you for coming to teach me. That was cool. I get that a lot. It's
really fun. I go over there, and the way you show respect in that country is towards the evening, kids are all supposed to take their parents' hand and touch their forehead. It's called the Amen. It's a way to show your showing respect to your parents. Kind of like bowing in Japan. My students sometimes would take my hand and touch their forehead. Go to their weddings and be asked to be a godparent. They use a different term. Or when their child is born. I had one of my students was actually the child of one of my other students who had been out in ministry long enough, had a child, came to college. I was her godfather. She was in my classes. She would come up and take her hand, touch my forehead. She shows, take my hand, touch her forehead, show respect. We were there a long time. We're really glad you were. Now, I am a teacher. I'm going to give you homework. Two things, only two things. Well, let's just go ahead. Yeah, my back's going to sleep anyway. Next slide. First, if you get a chance, watch the YouTube. Like I said, get one of your kids to show you how to do it. I just got a new phone last week. My son set it up. I'm not embarrassed to say that. He did it great. He got it done a lot quicker than I would have. Watch that bad race. It's fantastic. And then come talk to us. Maybe even today we're picking. Thank you very much. Carol and I just really want to thank you for your support and interest in what we've been doing for the last 30 years. I'm going to pray and then I'll turn time back on to the pastor. Father, thank you very much. For giving us all of these blessings, for sending your Son, and then for his commission to us, sending us. We pray that we will be faithful to that command. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. So going forward, advanced mission, he's got retirement coming up. Well, his wife is ways from retiring yet. So we're going to continue to support Carol, and so continue to pray for the Johnsons. We have a closing song.